Iceland is going to be in the Eurovision Song Contest. Yes, Iceland is going to be in the Eurovision Song Contest. And Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan got arrested in Romania.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Another Digital Citizen with me, Fro, from Norway and from the United States of America. We have Luke. Hi, Luke.
Hi, Fro. Hi, everybody. How's it going?
It is going marvelous. Update on the King. He got the Peacemaker.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got a permanent pacemaker because he had gotten temporary one last week when we talked about it, right? Yeah.
Yes. So, King's Watch 2024 is not over. He's still alive.
And still a king.
I'm going to guess those things goes together, right?
Well, we had been talking about it, whether he was going to step down or not. So that's a possibility
that's
in
true.
This whole, like, debacle, right? Yeah. But, I don't think...
Yes.
If he was going to step down, it would have already happened, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Here's a legitimate question. And I'm not even, like, joking. So I remember when the Pope became a Pope when the last Pope got down because he was a part of the Nazi party. And there were two alive popes. So let's say a king abdicates. Does he still get to call himself like a king, do you think? Like the Pope can call himself a pope?
Oh, like the former president, like they still call former president's president? I think so, right? Yeah. Or they would at least say, like, former king or, like, whatever. But I think if he abdicated, they'd still call him king. I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like they call former presidents president. But it's not like saying that he's still president. Right. Yeah.
Pope is actually the only title that you don't really lose, even when you abdicate. Isn't that strange?
I mean, how many times has that happened? Once?
Once or twice.
They made a whole movie about it, right? With the two popes, like a couple years ago. So it had to have been a fairly abnormal thing for them to make an entire movie about it. The Pope got in trouble this week, actually. Everybody was mad at him about... He said that Ukraine should surrender. He said they should wave the white flag. That was what his exact words were.
Okay.
Ukraine should learn to wave the white flag, suggesting that they should surrender. So Ukraine got very upset with the Pope.
I would think that's not a smart thing as a Pope to say.
He's the guy who's supposed to be, like, for Jesus. He's, like, Jesus's representative on Earth. So for him to advocate for peace, I don't think is that far of a stretch. But everybody's like, how dare you do that? It's like, wait a second.
I totally agree with that point. And I see that point. Mm-hmm. But I think people are a little upset that he is, like, kind of, like, didn't say Russia should stop attacking Ukraine instead of Ukraine should just
surrender. Right. I think what I'm to understand is like there is like a translation thing there as far as from Italian to English, and that it could like what he really meant when he said white flag is he was saying like that you should come to the table and negotiate, but he didn't like it wasn't really said very well. But I think what he was more suggesting is that like they're not going to win, and so maybe you should figure something else out besides fighting, because it's not working out.
Yeah, I have a fun fact for you. He didn't speak Italian. He spoke Latin.
Oh, okay. I mean,
yeah.
Sure. I didn't watch the speech. I just saw whatever
translation of it. Yeah.
I just read an article about it. Yeah.
Speaking about Latin, that's what they speak in Sweden, right?
Some people, isn't Latin a dead language? So no, it's no, probably not.
Just the Pope that speaks it, yeah, more or less. But yes, Sweden formally joins NATO. Welcome, neighbor. Yeah.
Sweden has officially become the 32nd member of NATO after it's completed its ascension process. Ascension process, that sounds... Doesn't that sound nefarious in a way? Yeah.
Sounds like you killed yourself and went to heaven, yeah.
Right, exactly. Not great wording there by the BBC, but the handover of documents took place in a ceremony 2 years ago after Sweden applied to join military alliance following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Swedish Prime Minister said that unity and solidarity would be Sweden's guiding light. Joe Biden, the U.S. president, said NATO today is stronger than ever. So, I mean, this is big for you. We've talked about this in the past, is that as far as, like, a world war type situation, which a lot more people seem to be talking about in the last couple weeks, you kind of had a barrier with Sweden in between you and Russia, and that's no longer the case for Norway, right? Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy on Norway's behalf that Russia is now not only next to Norway when it comes to NATO countries, and they have a bigger border towards Sweden than they do Norway, so
a much I'm bigger happy. Border, yeah.
Yes, we have like a tiny, tiny, tiny border, and Sweden have like half of Sweden.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's Finland there in between you guys, too, but...
Yes.
Sweden, like, as far as, let's say, like, a naval battle, that would be, like, the front lines...
Yes.
Coming towards you from Russia, if that makes sense, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's in the case of, like, some type of world war, which I've been hearing a lot of people seem to be bringing that up more and more. Suggesting that I heard a whole speech yesterday about how if Russia invades Ukraine and wins, then China is going to invade Taiwan, and if then China invades Taiwan, Russia will try to take Poland, and at that point then NATO has to get involved and it becomes a world war. I don't know. It's the whole thing is,
I mean,
hypothetical.
Last time someone attacked Poland, it didn't really end up that good. I have a sneaking feeling I remember.
The whole thing is so hypothetical and kind of based in the mind of, like, a Cold War kind of neocon-type mentality. Just today, there's been reports that Putin has come out and said he wants to negotiate an ending to the fighting with Ukraine. So that's the first time Putin's come out
and
said that.
To be 110% honest, it's not Putin I'm most scared about.
Oh, what do you mean?
No, like top three people I'm most scared about, he's probably my number three, I would say. I would say
in the
that,
world. China... Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh yeah, in the world.
I thought you were talking about in this situation. Okay.
No. In the world, I have China's leader as my number one. I am fucking scared of what they can do because they actually have some. They actually have military. We have seen what Russia's military is like right now, and it's not that fucking good. They can't even take.
I heard somebody kind of describe it really well as far as, like, the setting of the world stage is that China wants to use power to power and money to control economically the world, where Russia wants to destabilize certain regions so that it can gain a foothold of power. So, like, they're trying to do things from the opposite angles. One's trying to, like, economically do things and increase productivity for countries so that those countries, engage with China, where Russia's like, let's destabilize this place and then we can control it. It's, like, two different ways of, like, trying to gain power, right?
Yeah. And people that were wondering who my number two is, it's someone that's very big in orange in the country of the US of A. Anyway, talking about that, the White House is providing $300 million weapon package for Ukraine. Okay, that's good. No, it's not.
The White House will provide $300 million additional weapons to Ukraine, announced yesterday, Tuesday, as more more funding is held up in Congress. So that's been what's been holding everything back. But this package will be made available through presidential drawdown authority, which pulls weapons from U.S. stockpiles. The military equipment headed to Ukraine includes aircraft, missiles, ammunition, artillery rounds, anti-armor systems. Officials say the announcement comes as Ukrainian military is facing weapon shortages. At the same time, the U.S. has basically exhausted our funding to assist Ukraine, a senior defense official said. The defense official said they were able to come up with funding through savings in long-term contracts, but described it as a one-time agreement. Okay.
Okay.
So we're having to pull these from our own, like, U.S. stockpile of weapons that then we will have to... we don't produce enough weapons to give them money, to give them weapons and then also keep building our stockpiles at home, I guess, is the one thing. Mm. The other thing is this happens right after the Sweden NATO thing also. And it's somewhat going over the head of Congress, the president is, by giving these, because Congress is against right now giving weapons to Ukraine. So, yeah, Joe Biden is definitely loves his wars. That's the thing.
Yeah, he did a very good stand-up this week. It was called The State of the Union. It was kind of funny. I laughed a lot. Was very, very funny to see Marjorie Taylor Greene screaming at the president, because she's not totally unhinged or anything. I can't wait when she becomes the vice president.
Yeah, I like how in the State of the Union, which is like the name of it is the State of the Union, the first thing that Biden brings up in the State of the Union is how Ukraine's doing. How Ukraine doing?
Yes.
What the dog doing? Is like, is Ukraine the nation? Because that's the state you're currently talking about for some reason.
Yes, yes, yes. You didn't know that USA also have 53 states?
It's just weird that that's the first thing you bring up when you're talking about the state of the Union is Ukraine.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird thing to go to first.
We all know it's 53 stars on the flag. Do you know what? It's 50, right? Originally? Or 52? I always fuck up that.
Originally? I mean...
like the latest.
It's 50 states, yeah. And then there's some that are territories and stuff like that. So
why do I think it's 52 for some reason? I was like 53? That's weird.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm counting Alaska and Hawaii as double.
No, those count in the 50.
I know. Maybe I'm counting them as double.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I think what you might be thinking of Puerto Rico and what's that other one that...
Guam.
Yeah, the Isle of Samoa. Those are like not really states, but they can vote in the elections and stuff like that. So, yeah, territories, like I said. Mm.
Who's on your highest on the asshole list? You know, top three assholes right now.
Asshole list. I don't.
Are the Tate brothers there?
They've kind of fallen off of the public in being in the public eye, at least in my from what I've been seeing.
Yeah.
But they're definitely big assholes, if that's what you mean.
Well, they got arrested in Romania on UK warrant. Something I find kind of funny because it's I think both of them are United States citizens, right?
No, they're from the UK.
Oh.
Remember, he was in Big Brother UK.
Oh, he was in Big Brother UK. That's right.
And he's got a British accent. That should be a pretty dead giveaway. I think his dad was was UK US citizen or whatever, and he was his mother was British, I think, is what it was.
But yeah, they were both arrested, and Andrew Tate winked to some people that was there crying for him. So that's cool.
Since here, the 37-year-old former professional kickboxer and his brother were detained Monday evening on a UK warrant related to charges of sexual aggression, which allegedly occurred between 2012 and 2015. A spokesman said to NBC, ABC, and Sky News. His spokesman added the outlets that the brothers are set to appear in Bucharest Court of Appeals in Romania Tuesday, where a decision will be made whether to execute the warrants issued by the UK. So they we're looking at a UK extradition for what looks like sexual assault. I'm thinking maybe this is related to the case. The reason he was kicked out of Big Brother was there were videos revealed of him consensually, and I put that in air quotes, having rough sex with a woman. The woman said it was consensual, but there were other things, other people who said similar things about him, and so that's where this arrest warrant is happening. And it's big for him to be extradited to the UK just because, you know, he said in the past that the Romanian court system, the Romanian police are corrupt, and that he has people, or he's paid people off within the Romanian court system. So for him to go somewhere else is big.
I mean, it's not that weird that I thought Tristan was American citizen because he writes on Twitter. They do anything to put you in jail. Yes, everything besides giving me a trial to prove beyond all reasonable doubt that I committed a crime. Anything but that. This is my 441st day of my arrest. I have a clean criminal record and I am an American citizen. So that's why I thought he was American.
Maybe he is American citizen. I don't know about the brother. I just know about Andrew Tate. I don't know that anybody knows anything. Like, I don't even know why the brother's involved in this extradition, other than maybe the same women who are accusing Andrew are also accusing him of the same thing. That's my only thought, right? Wow. I can't think of why else they both would be extradited.
Oh, it says here, I'm both a British and American citizen, so we're both right.
Yeah, sure. Not that important, because he's going to the UK, so...
Nope. Well, what is also in the UK is the Princess of Wales. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See what I did there? Wales.
Yep.
Because there has been a redacted photo of Kate, and why is it redacted? Retracted.
There you go. It means pretty much the same thing. So, Associated Press and other news agencies issued a mandatory kill notice Sunday on a photo release of Kate, the Princess of Wales, citing concerns the photo was manipulated. The photo released by Kensington Palace earlier Sunday featured the princess surrounded by her three children. The photo was credited to Prince William of Wales and was reported to have been taken in Windsor earlier in the week. The photo marked the first time the public saw Kate Middleton since she had abdominal surgery in January. Her absence from public appearances led to far-fetched conspiracy theories about her whereabouts and well-being. Especially after this photo came out, which was supposed to be like them saying, hey, look, she's fine, she's here.
She's okay, she's okay, we promised.
And then the photo was very clearly photoshopped and manipulated to put her head in the picture. It seemed like her, like the body was somebody else possibly, or her
it didn't look like anybody with a different face.
Yeah.
Yes. It looked cray cray. It says here, Getty Images, Reuters, and AFP have all issued the mandatory kill, and it says, at a closer inspection, it appears that the source has manipulated the image. So the source is actually
the palace
themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It says, photo was released by Kensington Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on X, Twitter, or whatever.
Yes. I've seen the picture. It looks absolutely, it looks cray-cray. Exactly.
I mean, at first glance, you wouldn't notice anything from it. Like, if you just looked at it and click through it and didn't really, like, pay attention, but you look at it for, like, 2 seconds and you start to see problems with it. Not in, like, a AI-generated image kind of way, where, like, I don't know, they have extra fingers or, like, an extra nostril or something like that. It's clearly, human Photoshop, not like an AI type. To me, that's what it looked like. I don't know about you.
Yeah, totally.
I heard
they cropped her face on somebody else's body.
Apparently, she came out with a post of some type saying that she herself was the one that photoshopped the photo. And that,
I'm sure she did it.
That's what she said. She said, this was her words, that she's an amateur photographer and sometimes she likes to play around with the images. And that's what happened here. It's really bad timing if that is the... I don't know why... I mean, I guess I understand if she... What else did she have to do besides learn about photography? But what was this, like, her first time ever using Photoshop? And then she decided to use it for this picture, this very important picture, when everybody is questioning whether she's even, like, alive or not. And she's like, this is a good time to test out my Photoshop skills.
Photoshop.
Right. It just seems like terrible timing if that is the case.
I don't believe that for one fucking second. Is that okay?
No, there's definitely something weird going on here. The other story coming out of this, it's not really a conspiracy necessarily, because they're saying that she was getting abdominal surgery, but a lot of people are suggesting that it's actually a butt lift that happened.
Yes.
Because there's photos that show somewhat maybe enhanced posterior happening, and also the amount of time that she was gone out of the public eye or whatever is the exact amount of time that it would take to get and then recover from that surgery. So,
I mean,
it's a conspiracy, but...
I mean, if you first have to do something on your body, why don't you just, like, fix it all on the same time?
I think the conspiracy would be that... she said abdominal surgery because it's a little embarrassing to say you're getting a butt lift, right? Where you can say you're getting a different surgery and then nobody's going to question it until you come out looking like Kim Kardashian, I guess.
Yeah, Kim Kardashian, my idol, my sweet, sweet idol, because I idolize everybody that's rich.
Yeah, Kim... Definitely, she's worth idolizing, right? She,
she's so amazing. I mean, can you think of anything she did that was bad?
No, never. She's never lied about anything ever, so that's good.
Yeah. Is that why Trond is going to tell the truth about not idolizing the rich?
I think so.
We shouldn't idolize people because they're rich. Rich means they're... out of success, because they worked hard. That's bullshit. Many people who are rich have a lot of money because they hired a lot of money from their parents. And they have well-paid jobs. There are a lot of people who work hard. People who stand up in the middle of the night, baking your bread, bringing the groceries to the stores, delivering mail, working in hospitals, cleaning your shit, cleaning the streets, cleaning everything, and doing their day-to-day job. During the pandemic, a lot of healthcare people died. They got sick. They worked their ass off. But who made all the money? Rich corporations did. So the logic to conservatives, we're going to look up to them because they have success. They are also the people who got a lot of money from the states. Well, a lot of ordinary people didn't give a shit. Same happened in Norway, so-called social democracy. But we had a conservative government who think the rich, right, is to stay rich. And if you say something against this, you're a communist or just jealous. I'm not jealous at rich people, but I don't analyze them. When you come in a fancy suit, a fancy car, and fancy anything, I don't really give a shit. But if you come and show that you have done something right, like helping the poor, helping the environment, do something for your fellow being people, then they will analyze you. That means that you have some guts, you have some effort to want to sacrifice something of your life for other people to have a better time and better place. That we should start analyzing. A lot of TV stations fill up their bullshit with influencers and people don't know a fucking damn shit. Kardashians make me fucking puke, but a lot of things on TV make me puke. Come see my crib. Who gives a flying fuck about your crib? Look at my car, yeah. Like an extension of your fucking penis. There are a lot of shit in the world. And people can be rich all they want. But just saying that they have all the money made them worth more? Like we're gonna analyze them? Like we're gonna treat them as fucking royalties? I don't think. I have always lived by the principle. I treat the janitor with the same respect as the director. Yes. That is the fucking society way of doing things. What way with the golden geckos and all this fuckers coming back? Society is getting poorer and poorer. Other people, a lot of people work harder and harder and don't get anything. It's not the state who's to blame. It's not the government to blame. It's not the immigrants to blame. It's fucking greed to the from the people who want you to admire them. Well, stop fucking admiring them. Stop admiring them. And still them accountable. They should fucking work hard as anybody else. And they're gonna if they want our respect, they're gonna earn it by doing something more than just fucking buying fancy fucking stuff and showing off. This was Trond with Trond Tells the Truth.
That was Trond telling the truth. Thank you as always, Trond.
Thank you, Trond. Yeah.
Okay.
Real quick. I think there definitely is a issue with, like, people thinking that because you have a lot of money, that means you're smart.
Yeah.
You know that weird, like, I think it especially with people like Elon Musk, people are like, oh, he's like a super genius. He hires super geniuses to work for him. That's, right.
No, I agree. And for me, it's kind of, especially when we talk about people like Musk. I mean, in the beginning, I had deep respect for the man, but now, like, he's on Kanye West level for me.
I don't know if it's that bad, but he's like, he was a paper tiger the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
It was all a facade, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about facade, that actually fits into the first show I saw this week.
Okay.
It's a Channel 4 documentary called The Rise and Fall of Boris Johnson. For people that don't know who Boris Johnson is, he is a former British prime minister. And it goes through like it the years of like his rise to being a prime minister and his fall. Two episodes is out. Really fucking interesting. I knew almost nothing about Boris Johnson going on to this other than that he's a fucking buffoon. Very much liked it. I'm actually going to give it an 8.5, actually, and really recommend it.
Okay. It doesn't sound super... I can imagine there's one whole episode about Boris bikes, and so I'm not super excited about that, but... let's see, what did I see? Let's start with something season 2, episode 1 of Animal Control, which was a show I really liked last year.
So good.
Yeah, this came back and is just as good as before. I was kind of worried that it was going to fall off, but I really liked the show. I'm glad it's back. And the first episode was good. Yeah. I don't know. I'd give it, what, 7 for the first episode. Yeah.
7 is a total. I would agree to that. I have a lot of UK things, but go with Sky Atlantic. Giving us a Mary and George. Does that sound like a boring show to you? Yes, it does, because it's a kings and queens show. But it has Julian Moore in one of the leads, and it is so fucking fresh, and it's so incredibly wicked, and it's actually very like fresh and interesting. It is very stylish drama, but it is with substance. Like, most, like, costume drama, as I call it, are, like, super, super boring.
Right.
Because it's just, like, costume drama. But here is actually good acting. And it's about, like, Mary, Queen of Scots, that asked her son to seduce King James of Scotland. And, became his lover and things like that. I did not think I was going to like this, and I am actually going to give it a 9.
Okay, let's do Super Sex on Netflix. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
Italian show. It's not really a well-shot show. The acting's decent, but... It's the premise of the show is, I think it's based on the true life of an actual Italian porn star. But I didn't need all the background story. I'll say that.
Yeah, Porno Rocco is pretty one of the most famous Italian porn stars of all time.
Right. It's they definitely put that across. It's just the way it's shot is just not well done. The dialogue's fine.
No.
I feel like I didn't need the whole childhood story when we're talking about a porn star. We could have skipped that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't need to hear about his childhood in such explicit detail when I know what his future career is going to be. It just feels wrong to watch that, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I understood what they went. They were going for definite shock value in the show, 100%, right? Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
You want to give it a score?
I would give it a 6.5, I think.
I was thinking more like a 4.5, but yeah.
Oh, really? I liked it better than that.
I just thought the way it was filmed was kind of cheaply done, I guess. I don't know. There were certain things I just didn't like about the way it was filmed more than anything else.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The completely made-up Adventures of Dick Turpin on Apple TV with Noel Fielding in the leads. This is a UK production.
All right.
It's a fictional take on the life of Dick Turpin. He was the leader of the Essex gang who committed numerous like petty crimes, and he wanted to become like England's greatest highwayman, and he created this secret criminal organization, the Syndicate. This is funny, very very funny. I liked it. It is 3 episodes that's out right now. And I would give it an 8.
All right, something added to Prime, Boat Story. Boat Story. Is
it about a boat, by any chance?
It is actually about a boat, and there's something happens on the boat, and then they tell a story about it. Daisy Haggard and Patterson Joseph, it's a British show. I think it probably came out earlier this year, or maybe at the end of last year in the UK, okay. But now is being released on Freevee, which is Amazon's, like, free-to-pay thing, or what? Or free.
I've never heard of this in my entire life.
It's pretty good, actually. Mystery-type thing. These two people that are super down on their luck kind of meet on the beach, and they're just kind of talking about how their lives aren't going that well. They see a boat washed up on shore. They look in there, and they see some dead guys, but there's also a giant pile of drugs. And so they're like, well, we just stumbled into something here. And, yeah, the story goes from there. But it's pretty bloody, actually. But it's also a comedy at the same time. Daisy Haggard is very funny in this. The whole thing, it feels very, very British. But it's really fun. The storyline's the most interesting part. The acting's kind of, you know, normal British BBC-level acting. So the whole thing, probably like a... I'm going to say this is a 7 also. I definitely recommend it if you haven't seen it. The murder mystery. It's got action scenes. It's got comedy. It's got heists. It's got kind of everything in it. So,
is it a little like Death and Other Details?
I don't know what to compare this to be honest. Like I said, it's a little of everything. It's got
okay.
It's got a little of everything. You just have to see it.
Okay. Cool. If you would see a documentary called Queens, and it was narrated by Angela Bassett, what would you think it was about, Luke?
It's narrated by Angela Bassett, and it's called Queen. I don't know.
Queens.
Probably about famous African-American women in history?
That is also what I thought it was going to be, so... It is powerful female leaders sacrifice and show resilience to protect their families in the world's untamed regions. Yes, it is an animal documentary, Luke.
Oh, I saw a commercial for this now that I think about it.
And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, they had this weird song in the commercial. I don't remember what it was, but it was very oddly advertised, I remember.
Yes, it is so fucking weird. I really, really want you to see this, but I'm going to give it a 4 because it's so atrocious. I like National Geographic either slaps or doesn't, and this doesn't slap at all. I really like Angela Bassett, though, so I will give it a 4. Maybe 3.5, actually.
Does she just narrate, or is she like in the show? Yes. She just narrates.
No. Yeah.
Yes, okay. And it's on Nat Geo, is what you said?
Yes.
Okay. I will write that down. Wild Card Kitchen. This was on the Food Network.
Woohoo! I'm so happy that you brought this up, because I was hoping that you had seen this.
This is a Food Network show in the sense that they have a whole... It's a game show where they bring in other Food Network personalities to play in the game show. Right. The game show is a cooking competition, but it's based around a fake poker game. It's not poker. It just looks like poker. There's no, like, aces. There's no kings. Uh-huh. There's no numbers or suits. It's just the cards they pick decide how long they have to cook a dish, what type of dish it is, and then... an ingredient, and then there's a wild card for each contestant that can be something totally random. What was one of the wild cards? I can't even think of one right now.
No.
Use a whole jar of jelly was one of them. Like, yes. You in your recipe, you have to take an entire jar of jelly and use that as one of the ingredients, which one of the guys tried to do and then failed, right? Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah, it has Jet T Lina, it has Antonio Lufaso, both are really, like, big in the culinary kitchen circus, I would say.
I honestly didn't know any of these people. And I watched some Food Network, but not a whole lot. But most of these people, I was like, I don't know who the fuck you are. You're some Food Network star to me. Yeah,
and it has Eric Adjiapong as the host. What did you think about Eric Adjiapong?
It was fine. Yeah. I mean, he was trying to come off as like a poker dealer in like a casino or something, like an underground casino, not like a legit casino. Yes. So it was supposed to be like this feeling of like they all have a whiskey and some of them might have like a cigar if they were allowed to do that on TV, which I don't think they are. And it was, they were going for a feel of like, oh, the Food Network has shut down for the night, and now we're doing this cool, like, underground game. No. That was the feel they were going for.
So fucking weird.
I didn't mind the game itself. It was kind of fun.
No, but it felt very much like, oh, we're trying to be edgy and cool, and this is not really a program. It's just us playing poker. And it really didn't work.
Well, they were trying to go for that, like, late-night poker stream kind of look and feel to it. Like, and I get what they were going for. I think the one thing they could have done to improve, like, the gameplay aspect would be instead of having one secret judge, which they find out right away who that is. It's like it's secret only until the
two seconds.
Yeah, after the first competition, and then they know who the judge is. I think they should have had like three or four judges and let the cards decide. Let the cards decide who gets to judge each individual competition. If that makes sense.
Agree. Right. Yeah. But what do you give this show? Even though it was very convoluted and kind of funny.
Yeah, not very well filmed. Everybody comes off incredibly fake and disingenuous. I mean, if anything, it hurts their brand as like a character to me. But just because it comes off so fake, I give it a 4. Yeah.
Oh, I give it a 3.5.
I could definitely. I think maybe I like the gameplay a little more than you did. I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay, I saw the program Cons, Cults, and Kidnapping on Netflix. This is the documentary about a woman that is very much haunted by her experience of corruption and abuse at this teen industry. Fucking hell. This disciplinary school was fucking atrocious. 3 episodes? The whole season is out on Netflix, like I said. I very much thought this was so incredibly interesting. I like cult documentaries. Sure. And this really, really was the top of the pop for me. I hate the way it's styled and everything. It's very Netflix documentary. And I'm a tiny bit tired of that way of doing documentaries. But this was interesting enough. So, even though the subject was very interesting, it's so fucking standard Netflix documentary.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a preview for it, and I was like, it's going to be the same doc I've seen, like, 20 times. It'll probably be good, but it's not going to be anything different, right? Yeah.
Exactly. So, I'm going to give it a 5.5, and that extra 5 is because the... the show's theme is so interesting, but you don't really have to watch it. But it's super short, so there's that.
Speaking of cults, Garth Brooks.
What is, has Garth Brooks a TV show?
Yeah, it's called Friends in Low Places. Garth Brooks and his wife Trisha Yearwood have a TV show where they make a bar.
Okay.
Like so what I was expecting was like kind of a show where they show the crew at the bar like working and like interacting with customers and stuff. No, this is them like actually building the bar. Like the bar isn't even built yet at the beginning of the show. It's just like an old building and then they're renovating it. So the whole show is kind of a renovation show mixed with a weird like Garth Brooks commercial for this. It seems like what he's trying to do is create kind of a Jimmy Buffett thing. You know how Jimmy Buffett had that one song and then created the cheeseburger, what is it, the whole restaurant chain, whatever, it's Margaritaville. There you go.
Yes.
Friends in Low Places is like the Garth Brooks song that everybody thinks of, right? And so I think what he's trying to do here is create like a Margaritaville thing for Garth Brooks where all these restaurants will be called Friends in Low Places, but then they made a TV show about making that. So I don't know.
It's kind of funny because I'm a bigger fan of his wife than I am of his.
I saw some of, like, when I was working at a movie theater, we had kind of a, he did like an Eras Tour type thing way before the Eras Tour. He'd had like this thing, and he had like a massive, I remember being like, oh, nobody's going to show up to this. And every single show was sold out in that movie theater, completely sold out. It was like, he, like I said, talk about cults. He's got like a cult following for sure.
Do you recommend this?
No, it's pretty bad. It's like a really terrible renovation show, but more it's more a commercial than anything else for this like restaurant slash Garth Brooks himself. Some of it's kind of interesting, but all in all, it's pretty bad. I give this a 3.
Okay.
Yep.
Last thing I saw was The Gentlemen. Have you seen anything else?
No, nope, this is the last thing I saw as well.
Okay. This is based on a Guy Ritchie movie that I have still not seen. You have seen The Gentlemen, the movie, if I don't remember incorrectly.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think you saw it last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or the year before. I have not seen it. Was it anything like the
movie? I don't remember the movie well enough. I'd have to go back and watch the movie again, but I remember some of the characters. I remember the Theo James character. I remember the Vinnie Jones character. I don't remember a lot of the other characters, so maybe they were new to the universe or whatever. I'd have to go back and watch the movie. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I thought the TV show itself, you didn't really need to have seen anything else to like follow the story. It's mostly
very happy about that.
About a rich family who's losing their home, right? And the guy gets involved in underground crime world to try to keep his house. Yeah, that's pretty much the whole basis of the story. It feels very Guy Ritchie, kind of old school Guy Ritchie to me.
Yeah, and then it has Esposito in it. I was happy to see him. Like you said, Ray Winston was in this. Winnie Jones, like you said. So the cast was very good. I went in with extremely low expectations. So maybe I liked it a tiny bit better than I was thinking I would, to be honest. Because I was going, this looks stupid. It is stupid, don't get me wrong. But I liked it better than I thought I would.
I think it's brainless fun. I mean, I got...
Yeah.
In the boxing scene in episode one, I get super Snatch vibes from the boxing scene in that.
Very much,
like, I'm feeling, like, some old school Guy Ritchie vibes that kind of give me throwback feelings. And so I'm, you know, there's nostalgia, maybe, that I'm kind of biased with, but I thought the storyline was fun. It's definitely, you know, brainless, turn it on and don't really need to pay attention too much action and, you know, comedy, but in a, like, action movie type comedy way, right? Exactly. With, like, the chicken scene and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote down that, like, it felt very much like it was made in the late 90s. It felt like a very 90s show. Or
early to mid-2000s, late 90s, something like that. Yeah.
But I am going, actually, to give it a 6.5. I liked it that much.
Oh, I liked it more. I was going to give it a 7.5. I even could have gone to an 8, I think, but I need to see more of it to really... I think the acting was really good, the cinematography was really good, no problems anywhere. The storyline is a little convoluted. That's the only real problem I have with it.
Yeah. I also have only seen one episode, so...
Right.
There's that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it gets better.
Right, yeah.
I'm definitely going to see more.
That's 100% true. Yeah, it's... Yeah. Like I said, it's kind of mindless, brainless fun that you don't really need to, like be totally invested in, so...
Totally.
Yep.
Something that was also brainless, definitely, was the ending of The Trust, A Game of Greed, Episode 8. The most anticlimactic episode of them all.
The End of the Rainbow is what the name of this episode... I don't know why it's called that.
As
the final, I don't know what rainbows have to do at all. There's no rainbow lore in this episode, so I don't know what that has to do with anything. But
It's the son they are going to adopt now that he can afford it, that he talked about all the fucking time in this episode.
Was his name Rainbow?
No. I don't know.
I don't think... I remember the kid had a strange name. Yeah, for some reason in this episode, they just brought that up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like they had been acting like they were talking about it the whole season, but it just, like...
Yes.
He mentions it, like, six times in one episode.
Six, seven times. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? We don't need to hear about this.
So, as the final trust ceremony nears, a shocking truth is revealed and a huge offer is presented. In the end, who will win the cash and how much will it be? This episode, they all went to the vault and got an offer of, was it $25,000?
I think so, yes.
Up to $25,000. And it was kind of like Price is Right. Whoever picked the highest amount got the money. And nobody put anything in except for Tolu, so she ended up getting $25,000, which at the end, she still didn't reveal to anybody that she got that $25,000 from...
Yeah, she lied to them.
Right. At the end of the show, there was no reason for her to continue to lie about it, but she just decided to continue to lie about it. It's not like they weren't going to find out when the show aired on television, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think she thought that one through 100%.
No. Julia told the truth to everybody that she actually took the prize on the island. That actually surprised me. I don't know why she told them.
Well, she was on this big kick after not taking the money in the vault that she was like, I'm a good person now. I was tempted, and for the one time in my life, this apparently was the first time in her life she was ever tempted with something and didn't take it or didn't whatever, wasn't taken in by the temptation. I think that's the best way to put it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But happily, she can get a lot of money from coaching sessions on her store, because it's down from $225 to $149 for 45 minutes now. So, there's that.
Okay. It went on sale, huh?
It went on sale.
It's one of those things, like a mattress store that always has a giant sale sign out in the front. Yeah.
And the prices have been saved for 10 years.
Right, and that sign's been out there for 10 years. Yeah.
But very anticlimactic ending. Was kind of... Yeah, I was kind of disappointed, to be honest.
The ending just didn't wrap up very well.
No.
It had a good finale as far as, like, we found out who won, who didn't win, but there wasn't any, like... What they should have done is gone with the people and, like, maybe seen how it changed their life and shown us that, but I don't know.
That's
just, like, a weird idea of how they could have wrapped it up, because the wrap-up of the ending just felt off, for sure.
Yeah, it felt very anticlimactic and kind of like, okay, goodbye, everybody!
Yeah, there was no real, like, conclusion. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I don't see a season two of this. I don't know. What do you think?
No. What did you give this show, though?
All in all, what? It's like a six for, like, on a reality show scale.
Yeah. I agree. Mostly because of the women in that house that made this show interesting.
That was one big thing in this episode at the end where the guys, specifically the cowboy, he's like, oh shit, the women were playing us that whole time. He like finally realized in the last like 10 minutes of the show, he's like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was funny. But that means that we're not doing this anymore. So next week we're going to do nothing because nothing is coming out.
Yeah, nothing we want to cover. So we're going to cover something in a while. And I think we'll wait.
So we'll talk about
that. We'll wait because we might change it. But we have an idea of what we're going to do, but it might change. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Some TV news. Did you see the Wendy Williams documentary? I did.
No, it looked. I saw things from it, and it looked so depressing. I was not gonna watch it. Yeah,
it was one of the most depressing thing I have ever seen in my entire life. And I watched 1.5 episode, and I turned it off because I was like, "Eh, I can't do this anymore." But yeah, the producers of this said if they had known she had dementia, no one would have rolled the camera.
They couldn't tell when they were there. I mean, I could tell from the clips I've seen of the show. Well, maybe...
So obvious!
Right. It says, so for the better part of a year, he kept cameras rolling, documenting increasingly fragile state of the former talk show host had found herself in as she alternatively craved family, her former TV platform, and it had an excessive amount of alcohol while struggling to remain coherent. What ultimately came was... the footage is raw... And devastating. Yeah. There was a lot of people that basically when it came out were like, what the... Are they taking advantage of her? Like, why are they doing this? Yeah. Why are they... And it... There was a lot of blame put on the son. Her son is what I mean. Not like the newspaper or the giant ball in the sky. Her son, but it seems like he didn't know...
Well, that son!
He didn't know they were going to use the footage in that way, or at least that's what he's saying, right? Yeah.
And it was also a TMZ documentary, so what the fuck was I really expecting, so...
Yeah, not the highest standards over there, yeah.
Yeah. Singer-songwriter Sarah Bareilles is one of my favorite fucking singer-songwriter of all time. And she has made the musical The Waitress, if anybody have ever seen that for some reason.
Okay.
But she's also in the TV show Girls Forever. That is one of my favorite sitcoms of all time.
Yeah, and that's good.
It is really, really good. And it has moved to Netflix now, so maybe...
Well, it's not there yet, but it's moving to Netflix, right?
Yeah.
It was on Peacock, and it was very NBC show. Like, it felt like an NBC show. So, it seems like there's a few different moves like this happening... Right now, like, one streaming service buying up a different streaming service's show. Yeah,
like Schitt's Creek.
Right.
Schitt's Creek is a perfect example of that.
There's a few different show, like, articles I've seen about this. I don't know if there's deals happening behind the scenes, but there's a lot of trading of shows happening right now for some reason. Yeah. And this is one of the biggest kind of gets, I would say.
I'm so happy to see that they bought this.
Yeah, I like the show, but the NBC taint to it, I've always kind of been like, oh, it feels very network TV, so maybe that's going to go away when it goes to Netflix, but maybe not. Maybe it's all going to stay the same. We'll see.
Yeah, and it's coming to Netflix when, do you remember?
I don't think they said.
Oh, it says there.
Oh, does it?
March 14th.
Oh, so tomorrow.
Yeah, so tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Go and watch it, everybody.
That's something to look forward to for tomorrow. Yeah. And if you want something else to look forward to, it's a free Audible trial. If you go to audibletrial.com/ADC, that's audibletrial.com/ADC, you can look forward to a free Audible trial for 30 days and a free audiobook or some kind of audio media. If you cancel the trial, you get to keep the audio media... and it helps us out.
Blighty, mate. It's time for Australia. That's what they say in Australia, right?
Yeah, for sure. I always hear them saying that all the time.
Mate. Let's talk about electric field with one molecule or one blood. What did you think about this?
It felt like a very college band who is like super indie college band kind of, yes. You know what I mean? In like did a weird experimental way.
I was thinking of, when I watched it, I was like thinking of like Belle and Sebastian, like indie bands like that.
Yeah, super. 90s. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
It, also, if you listen to the lyrics, there's some concerning kind of like lyrics about like spirituality in a in like
yeah.
a, what what's the in that like. Hippie spirituality.
Like, yeah, very much. Yeah,
it's got a weird,
very flower power.
I don't even know. It's got almost like a. I don't know how to describe it other than just like hippie dippy, spirituality thing going on there. The song itself isn't that good, to be honest. I don't know what the. Or the stage performance is going to look like either. Like I have no clue.
Yeah.
If it's anything like the music video, it's just going to be them standing there, like, looking at exactly. at the camera. So, I don't know.
At the camera. I don't think Australia have a snowball's chance in hell to qualify for a final.
I don't know if they want to by this song. I mean, it's just not,
yeah.
not that great. I don't know what's going to happen with it. I don't know that it'll... Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to... I was going to give it a 2, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Israel reveals Eurovision song after weeks of wrangling. Will we talk about it? Maybe we will, maybe we will not. But yeah, I have listened to it. Eden Golan will represent Sweden, I said. Israel in Sweden.
Right, there you go. She will now sing Hurricane, a rewritten version of October Rain. The lyrics now told the story of a woman expecting a personal crisis, says the public Israel's public broadcaster. Lyrics such as there's no air left to breathe and there were all good children, each one of them were seen as references to the victims of the Hamas attack. And so, those were removed, obviously.
Okay, let's talk about country number 2. It's Croatia with Bibi Lasagna. That is actually their real name. With Rim Ting Tagadi Dim. Jesus Christ, I love this song.
Okay, I kind of felt like they were just ripping off a song from last year with the guy with the big puffy green sleeves from last year.
Yeah, a little like Finland, yeah.
Finland, that's who it was. It just felt like they were definitely inspired by that, right? Even the lyrics of the song were similar. I don't know. I didn't think the singer was very good. I liked the stage performance, though.
Yeah, that it's 110% the stage performance and 10% the song. But I like singing, it felt very much like a wrestling song.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, it felt like, especially that, got me thinking of like Seth Rollins' entrance music.
It's definitely...
But I get the vibe.
I did not think the singer, like, his voice was not there for me, but the stage performance, like I said, is... I would give the stage performance an 8, but the song itself, like, a 2. So, I'll give this a 4.
Okay. Okay. We have talked about this before, but Iceland will actually compete in the Eurovision now.
Apparently. I think what happened is they figured out the problems with the voting, and now they've determined that York will compete, and then she said that she is willing to compete, which was the question because Iceland had given the decision to the winner whether or not to boycott because of Israel, and she's saying no. So, yeah. Are we going to cover the song now, or what are we thinking?
Yeah. Okay. We're going to talk about them next week.
Right. I still think it's controversial that she even won, but that's in the past now. So, move on.
Nothing we can do about it.
Right, exactly.
A country that will be in the final is one of the big five. Let's talk about Angelina Mango. I love her last name. With La Noia.
Yeah, this is a just solid song. It's kind of half poppy and half ballad, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I like this. I think this is one of Italy's like strongest Italian songs in quite a while. I mean, they won with a rock song, but that was in English. It was in Italian and English. But this is totally like very popish, very easy air, as I call it. And she's a good performer as well. That helps.
She's a decent dancer, not amazing or anything. She's no Michael Jackson.
No.
But she's like, really engages the crowd. The crowd seems super into it.
Exactly.
The lighting and stage performance is really good. And she's, it's definitely the best song this week, for sure. 100%. Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
I give it this 6.577.
Yeah, and I especially like when she goes down and like she goes like has very high tones and she goes La Noia. but I give it a 7.5 actually. I really liked it.
Okay.
The Big Five and Sweden will perform in the live semifinals, and well, we can vote for longer.
The semifinal stuff is not really that interesting, or is it? I don't understand it, really. Like,
so
nobody was competing before, right? And now they just get to compete, but nobody else does?
So the thing is, like, it's always been like this, that in the semifinals, there will always have been, like, extra elements of entertainment.
Sure.
But for the first time, the artist from the Big Five will be in this. Will be there because in the live semifinals before, it just have been snippets of the songs coming in the final. So it's the first time that they will perform their full songs. But
is that fair? Is that fair to the rest of the contestants who don't get to perform their songs? Because this gives
them,
if nobody else gets to perform their songs except for the Big Five, doesn't that give them an advantage because everybody gets to see their song more than the other people's, the other country's songs?
No. So it's three the one night and three the other one. So it's the Big Five plus the qualifying country.
Right.
So it's all the semifinal performers, then the three directly competing one, then the other night it's all the semifinals and the last three ones. So everybody will have the same time.
Oh, okay. Then I don't understand what really, why that even matters. But the big thing is the voting will open before the first song in the grand finale. Viewers at home will be able to cast their votes as songs are performed rather than waiting until all entries have been presented. As has been the case, public voting was introduced in 1997. Additionally, fans in non-participating countries will have nearly 24 hours to vote on their favorite songs before the live show even begins. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. I think that will very much favor more countries voting for their neighbors than the music. I think this will bring it so neighbor countries vote more for neighbor countries. I don't like this at all. I think it's a very, very bad idea.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. They changed a whole bunch of voting stuff last year and nobody liked it, and now they're just doing even more of it, so yeah.
Coming next week, we will talk of news of the week. Trond will tell the truth about something. We will do the TV of the week. We will do Eurovision song reviews. I think we will do Iceland, Netherlands, and the UK.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what we will do next time.
Some Nordic countries and then one of the big ones. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll cover a random TV show if we watch something. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe we will find something completely random and all of a sudden, like, do it.
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows?
Or, yeah, just do a few episodes of it, find something short. That could be a thing we could do. Yeah. I mean, we're winging it on that front, I think. Yeah.
It's a wing and a prayer. What song was that? Oh my god.
On a wing and a prayer? Yeah. Who is that? I don't know. But it just makes me think of the show Wings, because I hit a wrong button on my remote because it was in my pocket and I bumped into the counter in my kitchen and it changed over to this random station and it was just 24 hours of Wings, the TV show. And I was like, should I keep it on? I kind of wanted.
I am going to be truthful. I don't think I have seen a single episode of the Wings in my entire life.
It's kind of funny. I've seen the whole show. It's kind of worth watching. It's a funny sitcom.
It's with Tim Daly, right?
It is so random. It's a sitcom about... It's an office place type sitcom about an airport, is what it is. Yeah.
It has 8 seasons?
Probably, yeah. It definitely gets worse at the end, but the first bunch of seasons are pretty good.
Tony Shalhoub is in it as well? Jesus.
Yeah, okay. He kind of plays a little bit of a racist character, I'll be honest.
Okay.
He has a bad kind of Middle Eastern accent. He plays a little Latka-esque, if you know about Taxi.
Taxi. It's one of my favorite shows.
Right.
I love that show. Talking about a show that's going to be done today.
I think this is kind of the same. It's got one of those very problematic characters and some other things about it probably too.
And a very young Crystal Benner, I see. Back when she was young.
It's one of those things that you could put on in the background and it just play a whole bunch of episodes and it would be fun.
I've not even seen a single episode of this. I will check it out. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I will do a review of that next week. Fro watch Wings from the 1990s.
Is it from the 90s? Or it might even be from the 80s.
No, it's from 1990.
Oh.
It started.
Yeah, okay.
It ran from 1990 to 1997. It has an IMDb rating of 7.3 out of 10, believe it or not.
I think it was one of those classic shows where in the 90s where the couple or the people that the audience wants to see get together end up getting together and even maybe having a kid, and that's when the show goes off the air because nobody's interested in it anymore. I think it's one of those shows, yeah.
And it's kind of a spin-off of Frasier, right?
Frasier, there's an episode definitely where Frasier flies through the airport, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a direct spinoff, but it might be related in some way.
It says there, all through not the spinoff, Wings takes place in the same universe as Cheers.
Right.
And by extension, it's a spinoff Frasier.
So technically it's a spinoff of Cheers, but...
Yeah.
Frasier is the only character from Cheers that I think... Oh, no, Norm. There is an episode where Norm is in it, now that I'm thinking about it. Yep. Okay. Right. Yeah, so it's definitely in that universe.
And I have not seen a single episode. Do you think Jake Paul likes Wings?
Probably. He's probably a huge Wings fan. Maybe not. Probably never seen it. Jake Paul is, though set to fight Mike Tyson on Netflix in a live streamed event, the bout is scheduled to take place on July 20th at AT&T Stadium. How old is Mike Tyson?
85? No, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but there's definitely a huge age gap. I know that. Let's see, Mike Tyson. 57.
I'm going to guess in his 60s. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so not quite 60, yeah. But he's there. He might be 58 by the time the fight happens. I'm not sure.
How old is Jake Paul?
I want to say 26. Let's see. 27.
Okay. Yeah.
So a 30-year age gap?
Yeah. I have a sneaking suspicion of who will win. But who the fuck knows? Maybe Mike Tyson will get over. I would love to see that.
The thing is, Mike Tyson is like, when he gets in the ring, is a legit crazy person. So even at 57, I would be afraid.
Yeah, bites ear.
Right, I would be afraid of him even as an older man.
I would wear ear protection if I would bite Mike Tyson. That's for fucking sure.
Right, I don't think that's legal, but I would, you know. Oh, I know what you could do. You know how Nintendo games, like the little packets have that like weird taste on it, so kids don't swallow the little cartridges. You just put that all over your ears, and then when he goes to bite it, it tastes really bad.
Do you remember the football player that also took an ear of a contestant? Do you remember that?
I don't think so. I'm assuming you're talking about like
soccer.
Football. Yeah. No, yes, I don't remember it, but maybe if you showed me the video or something, but...
Yeah, well, I will find it. We will watch it at the end.
Mike Tyson also beat up his girlfriend, so he's not a great guy, but yeah.
What?
Yeah. TikTok.
But tell me about that while I find the ear-biting thing.
House passes bill that could lead TikTok ban if Chinese owner refuses to sell the house... passed a bill today that would lead to a nationwide ban on TikTok if China's owner does not sell its stake, as lawmakers act on concerns that the company's current ownership is a national security threat. The bill passed a vote 352-65. Now it goes to the Senate, where its prospects are a little more unclear, but Joe Biden says if it passes Congress, he will sign it into law. So... Yeah, this is not the first time we've gone through this dance with banning TikTok.
We did that before Trump become president, so yeah.
They were talking, and then when Trump actually became president, then there was the whole things of like, are we going to ban it? And it never really came to fruition. Will it happen this time? I don't know. What do you think? I guess it depends on if they sell or not, right? Yeah.
Right, I don't really think it will happen. It's a too big a company. I have a sneaking suspicion that they are too powerful.
Okay, I guess we'll see what... I mean, we have to see first whether it actually goes through Congress or not, or what happens with the whole thing. I mean, it's completely up in the air, so...
Exactly. Have you heard about the Dragon's Dogma? Have you heard about that game?
No. Dragon's Dogma? No. Okay.
Yeah. There are coming a second game. It's all around the corner. But it really looks like it's having a lot of problems. The dynamic of it is tweaked the wrong way, and your competition is very clever, and the classes are like fucked up, and your companions can get sick, and yeah, it's so weird, and console performance could be an issue already, so. It's been a lot of talk on the internet about Dragon's Dogma 2.
Okay, I'll check it out. And the one game I've seen a lot of streamers playing is that climbing game that looks like Getting Over It or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the other big game this week that I've been seeing a lot of people talking about. Mm-hmm. Speaking of games, Rooster Teeth shutting down. The creators of Red vs. Blue, that's where I mostly knew them from. I mean, they definitely have... I don't remember the last time I watched anything from Rooster Teeth.
For me, they are Funhouse. I was a big Funhouse fan.
I didn't really follow them after Red vs. Blue, and that was definitely like a moment in time in my mind of like a snapshot in history of the internet kind of moment. Where, I don't know, definitely on YouTube, everything kind of changed in my mind after that series took off and would became like, I don't know, viral, to use a word I don't like to use.
I don't like that the word either.
Right.
Did you see, do you know of Ben Aslock?
What's the last name?
Aselart. Ben Aslock?
I don't think so.
Okay. He built a water park inside of his house and invited a lot of famous YouTubers to come there. Logan Paul.
Okay.
And things like that. Yeah.
Funny. Interesting. Did you see the boy vid where they tried to break into a CIA base in Australia?
No.
That was very... Yeah, you need to check that out. Them and True Geordi. True Geordi's the guy who's like...
Yeah.
House was firebombed and everything. There's like a secret, top secret CIA base in Australia. Like, and they're like, why is there a CIA base in Australia? So they go into the town that this base is like... you know, all the stores and everything that, and the whole town is just filled with Americans and they're like, what the hell is happening? Everybody. Yeah. You just have to see it. It's a very good video.
The Norwegian duo Marcus and Martinus won the Swedish Eurovision.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So Norway will be in Eurovision twice.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I guess the last thing I had was the vegan teacher Oompaville
thing. Oh my god. That was
that so also funny. Is involving somebody else who is his girlfriend? What's her name? Yes. I can't remember her like online handle right now. I don't really follow her on her I don't follow her YouTube channel, but something's going on there where they're like I think there's something legally happening is what it sounds like. Like harassment charges or something?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. What do you think about that?
It's hard to tell exactly how serious it is, but the two of them both came out with videos talking about how this woman is going above and beyond just kind of sending messages to them, but like to the point of harassment, right? I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I think she's always been an unbalanced person, and he said in his video, he was like, I feel so bad that I invited her here and gave her a platform on my channel and all that other stuff, so I don't know.
Really? He said that?
Yeah, he was like, I wish I never would have done that, is what he said, so...
Wow. Well, that's something.
All right, let's check out this video, unless you got anything else.
No, this is... So, the guy's name is Luis Suarez, and he's the biter, and he has actually bitten a player like 4 or 5 times. And, so they have made a compilation of that on the internet.
All right, give me a countdown.
In 3, 2, 1, play. So it says Luis Suarez biting incidents, and this is Ajax versus PSV.
2010. And you
see it? Yes, and you see it there. He goes for the air. Do you see that? That was November. And you see?
Yeah, I barely saw that one though. That was like really, really quick.
And he was given a 7-match ban. Then it's Liverpool versus Chelsea.
But this is 3 years later.
Involving him biting. Yes. To show that anyway. He says, I'm sad for what happened this afternoon.
Oh, that was in the video. Okay.
Ivanovic.
Yeah.
And all football world for my inexcusable behavior.
Okay. And there you see he's biting on the shoulder.
This is the incident
I could barely see that one also. Oh, this one they actually zoomed in. The other one they didn't zoom in.
Yes. But do you see how he's holding his... It's biting there.
That guy wasn't even near the ball. Why was he even biting? Like, why was he biting that guy? He wasn't even like...
He's pointing to his arm. But that is not the worst one. He was given a 10-match ban. And this is the best one. Uruguay versus Italy.
From a year after the one we just watched.
Okay? Yes. Now Cavani. Now there's two players gone down in the penalty area. You don't really see anything going on right now.
Yeah, it's hard to tell who's who when they're that far out.
See now. Did you see that? Luis Suarez.
Did he bite him or was that a headbutt?
Yeah. No. See? No wonder Chiellini. And he pretends he's certainly.
He does the soccer. Oh, I hurt myself.
And you see the bite marks on.
Oh, he bit him on the shoulder. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Luis Suarez and Mike Tyson has something in common. They like to bite people.
It's a thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when soccer players just pretend to be hurt. There's no other sport where that happens. I don't think.
Yeah.
I can't think of another sport where they just fall over and just flop on the ground and pretend to be hurt.
Yeah, that never happens in American football. Cough, cough.
I don't know that. I mean, it might happen in baseball. But I don't think it happens in America. I don't think it has to happen in American football. They really are hurting
That's
each
true.
Other.
Yes, yeah. That is true. Yeah, ice hockey would be fun. Okay, I am biting Fro.
Yeah, I am chewing Luke.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen. 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 Citizen.